do please be seated. Welcome to everybody and welcome to those of us who have joined us by Zoom this morning. There's just a couple of additional notices to bring to your attention. Firstly, next week, it is communion, but it is not Adrian Hicks who is preaching next week. It is Laura Partington who comes to us from Kettering. So it's not Adrian next week, it's Laura Partington who is preaching and leading communion here. Then secondly, a notice has come through. I don't know if anybody knows this person. A person by the name of Joe Storey. He was a pastor at the church on King's Heath and manager of the Manor House bookshop, has recently died after a sudden illness. I think he died on Friday. The family would appreciate cards if anyone would like to send them, but not any communication by email or text, any digital communication, just if you would like to send a card. He was living at 4 Methodist Homestead. If you want the address, do let me know. It will go into the church notices for next week. So that's the death of Mr. Joe Storey. I would like to introduce to you Linda Leathersitch, who comes to us this morning from the Methodist circuit. She's a local preacher within the Methodist Church who is a member at Kingsley Park. She has been with us before, but not for quite some time. So welcome to you, Linda, and every blessing as you lead our worship this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. Catherine must be taller than me. It's all right. I'm used to being small. Good to be with you all this morning. It really is. And it's actually much cooler in here, isn't it, than out there? It's really nice that we can sit and enjoy the cool as we worship God together. Let's prepare for our worship. We come together to worship God, to sing, to pray, to listen to the Bible and learn its message for us today. May the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our minds be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're going to start with a hymn that says, "All heaven declares." And it's not just heaven that should be declaring the glory of the Lord, but all of us as well. You know, the things that go on in the world and the weather and everything else happen around us, but God is still there. And God still loves us. And so we come to worship him this morning. Let's sing from your hymn books. It's Songs of Fellowship number 10. And it's All Heaven Declares.
Together this morning, we ask that you will be close to each one of us. Amazingly, you know each one of us, and you know the concerns that we each carry at this time. Help us to hand over all those concerns to you, so that we can put you at the center of our thoughts as we come to worship. Take away all that might distract us, and give us peace
that we might be still and know that you are God. Heavenly Father, as we come to worship you, we bring our thanks and our praise. Sometimes words seem so inadequate. We only want to rest in your presence, feeling your love around and within us, and letting our love flow back to you. We thank you for all your gifts, given for our creation, nurture, and enrichment. Above all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, and for all that he means to us. We love because you first loved us, and you showed your love most in Jesus. So accept our worship, and accept our thanks and our praise. Heavenly Father, we confess our many failures in love. We have not always loved you with the whole of our being. We have not always loved one another with the selfless love you have shown us in Jesus. We have closed our eyes to the needs of our neighbours and have ignored the cries of our needy world. In your loving mercy, forgive us and fill us with your love. You know, God loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to be our Saviour, and our sins are forgiven through Jesus, and for that we say thanks be to God. Thank you, loving God, that you watch over us hour by hour, day after day, not to keep tabs on what we're doing, but as a loving friend and a faithful companion, there to help in times of need, to protect in times of danger, and to comfort in times of hurt. Thank you that even when we lose sight of you, still you are there looking after us. Wherever we may be, whatever life may bring, you are our shelter and our eternal home. Loving Lord, we come to you in our worship, and we ask all our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so it's time for you all to become children at this point, right? Because this is where, on my little thing, it says children, right? So you're all now children. Two stories. One, I think you have probably heard at some point in the past, because you are all of the generation that will probably have heard it. Some of the children might not have done. About a group of blind men who heard about an elephant but couldn't imagine what this elephant was like. So someone arranged to take them and show them an elephant, let them have a look. So they went, and the man who owned the elephant welcomed them into a room with the elephant there, and he took the six friends round to different bits of the elephant and said, right, feel, touch, see what you can, see what the elephant looks like. When they'd all done, they got together afterwards, and the first man, who was standing at the side of the elephant, said, the elephant is like a great thick wall. The second man said, nonsense, because he was standing at the front of the elephant with the tusk. He's short, and he's smooth, and he's pointed. An elephant is more like a spear than a wall. The third man, who'd been near the ear, said, it's not like a wall or a spear. It's a gigantic leaf that's made of thick carpet wool, and it moves when you touch it. The fourth man, who'd been at the front near the trunk, said, no, the elephant's like a giant snake. And the fifth man said, you're all wrong. The elephant is round and thick like a tree. Because he had hold of one of the legs. The sixth man had been allowed to sit on the elephant, and he said, no, it's like a gigantic moving mountain. I knew they were all right in a way, because the bit that they were feeling and touching was like they could imagine. And they'd all got a bit of the story, but none of them had actually got the whole picture. None of them all together knew what an elephant looked like. And that's a bit like us when we look at the Bible and try and see what God is like. Because when you read through the Bible, it says all sorts of things about what God is like. Starts off with him being this awesome creator, this very powerful being that has made absolutely everything, including you and me. He's the creator of everything, powerful. And yet he's also a faithful friend. And then he's going to be this judge. He's going to be this strict judge who is going to judge us and hand out punishment. But he's also a forgiving father. Lots of ideas. And if we only read one bit of the Bible, we can have one idea about God that is very different to someone else's. For us to understand God, we have to learn a lot about the Bible. And we have to look at Jesus. Because God sent Jesus so that he could tell us all exactly what we needed to know about God. We look at Jesus and we can understand God a whole lot more. Those people who all looked at the elephant, felt the elephant, thought they were right about what it was like. And we all argue about what's right and wrong. We often miss out on the thing that's important while we're doing that. Like the day that God decided he was going to go for a walk across the earth. He was going to disguise himself as an old tramp. He was in a mood that day that said, okay, I'm going to play a joke on them. So he sorted out a hat. And the hat was white at the front and red at the back, green one side and black the other. Four-coloured hat, which he put on his head, walked across a field. And in the field, there were four men working. As they were going home that night, they said, did you see that old tramp with the white hat walk across? And the other one said, what do you mean a white hat? It was red. No, it was definitely white, said the first man. You're both wrong, said another one. It was green. The fourth man said, you must all have been half asleep. It definitely wasn't. It was black. And they continued this argument. They carried on their way and they argued, all absolutely convinced that they were right and everybody else was wrong. And they kept on saying, this is right. And it got to the point where their argument developed and they fell out with one another. They stopped talking to each other, all because of the colour of God's hat. But the important thing was that they had missed who was wearing the hat. They were so involved in looking at the colour of the hat that they missed the fact that God walked across their field wearing the hat. And we can be like that too with our world. We look around us, we see all that's going on, and we miss what's important. The thing that God is trying to tell us and show us is the thing that we miss. We're going to sing a hymn now that was aimed at the children because I thought that they would know Colours of Day. But it talks about us walking through the streets and seeing the people who need some help. When we're little, maybe we can't do a great deal to help people. But as we go up, there are other things that we can help with. You never know, one day you might be helping somebody who is God in disguise. We need to go around doing our little acts of kindness. Even if it's opening a door for somebody or smiling at them and making them feel worthwhile. So let's just open our eyes and notice the things around us. And let's sing Colours of Day. going to use technology now to listen to two people talking about the issues that we find if we actually were to read the gospel reading from Luke 12. So we're going to listen to a dialogue.
Perhaps it's too frightening.
Too upsetting.
Challenging.
Perhaps if we were to open our eyes, we would see.
But then again, perhaps we do see.
And the sight of it is so terrifying that we ignore it.
Push it to the back of our minds.
Bury it under a mountain of trivia.
Paperwork.
Committee minutes.
Anything to avoid looking at the world around us.
And taking the issues seriously.
How is it that we see so much?
And yet see nothing at all.
And we can get all the information we need.
And more besides.
Send documents around the world in seconds.
Find out what is going on anywhere at the touch of a mouse.
We're wired up.
Digitized.
Downloaded.
We know so much.
Oh dear, and understand so little.
Surrounded by all this truth, we cannot cope.
And so we obsess about the latest gadget.
The newest technological breakthrough.
Anything to avoid looking at the world around us properly.
And asking the questions that really matter.
Or we look at our church.
And decide to reorganise it one more time.
After all, that is the most important stuff, isn't it?
Actually, it's the answers to the big questions that we do not like.
Because the answers are difficult.
They would require change.
A completely new way of seeing and doing things.
That would take a lot of hard work.
And effort.
And pain.
We're not sure that we're ready for all that change quite yet.
And so we go out to the shops and spend some more money.
On things we do not need.
And Jesus longs that we would open our eyes and see the times.
But we don't. And he weeps out of love.
A traditional reading now from the Bible, from Hebrews.
Beginning at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. It was faith that made the Israelites able to cross the Red Sea as if on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do it, the water swallowed them up. It was faith that made the walls of Jericho fall down after the Israelites had marched around them for 7 days. It was faith that kept the prostitute Rahab with those who disobeyed God, for he gave the Israelite spies a friendly welcome. Should I go on? There isn't enough time for me to speak of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith, they fought whole countries and won. They did what was right and received what God had promised. They shut the mouths of lions, put out fierce fires, escaped being killed by the sword. They were weak, but became strong. They were mighty in battle and defeated the armies of foreigners. Through faith, women received their dead relatives raised back to life.
Others,
refusing to accept freedom, died under torture in order to be raised to a better life. Some were mocked and whipped, and others were put in chains and taken off to prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went around clothed in skins of sheep or goats, poor, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not good enough for them. They wandered like refugees in the deserts and hills, living in caves and holes in the ground. What a record all of these had won by their faith, yet they did not receive what God had promised. Because God had decided on an even better plan for us.
His purpose was that only in company with us would they be made perfect. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us.
So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way,
and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated at the right side of God's throne. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you for that reading. Faith is the thing that keeps us going if it's strong. And that's why we're going to sing our next hymn, which has got that lovely chorus that says, "I trust alone in you." So let's sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
Thank you.
stories a little earlier, maybe silly little stories, but they hold some truths. We do all see things slightly differently. If we're all given the same thing to read, we would probably all make slightly different interpretations of it. And when you look at different commentaries on a particular passage in the Bible, you often find that there are people who see things in different ways. And maybe we are just made in a way that thinks that we're right and the other people just can't see it. And so we can disagree. And that disagreement can turn into an all-out argument and into a fallout if we don't just pay attention to what others are saying and listen to them and not be too dogmatic about what we believe. The gospel reading that's set for today is not an easy one to read. In fact, in the commentary I read, it said it was in the top 10 most difficult sayings of Jesus. And I thought, oh, good. We didn't hear that passage directly from the Bible, but in it, Jesus does say, "Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." We're not used to Jesus saying things like that, are we? But from the Old Testament prophets to the present day, those who seek to serve God faithfully have often found themselves at odds with the majority of people. It's true that faith can lead to unpopularity and even to persecution. In the reading, Jesus says various things about bringing fire, a distressful baptism, and division, even among families. Now, they're not the things we expect from Jesus, are they? We expect him to be kind and compassionate, encouraging. So this passage is full of things that we don't hope that Jesus is going to say to us. We are far happier with Jesus as a peacemaker rather than a homebreaker. Fire is used throughout the Bible as this image of judgment. And this passage is in a larger section where Jesus has become more serious, if you like. He's making the reality of judgment clear. Jesus always, always tells people that they need to repent. They need to see what's happening and they need to change. He said to these people, look, you look at the clouds, you look at the wind, and then you say what the weather's going to do. If you can do that, why can't you look at what's happening in the world around you, see what's around you, and then be prepared for the coming judgment? Open your eyes, look around, see the things that need changing, and do something about it, and do it now. The Christian faith can divide families and communities. We often disagree with even other Christians from different denominations. It's great that this morning you're here, you know, Baptists, Methodists, all here worshipping God because God is the same God. It's not that that separates us, is it? I know that I have had problems over the years with my son-in-law, who I do love him, but we have had problems over religion. It's one of those things, isn't it? Because he comes from the Christadelphian faith, and they have very different ideas to me as a Methodist. We've had quite a few discussions, and have had to agree that we're going to agree to differ on a lot of things, because they see things in a very different way. For a start off, they're a Unitarian church, and don't believe in the Trinity. So, you know, that's quite a major one. Things are changing within his church as well now. I think there are a few more modern-minded people going there. And I would actually be allowed to stand up and read a lesson in the church now. Right at the beginning, I was actually going to receive the worst of God's judgment because I was daring to stand up in church and preach. That was wrong. Does that come from God, or does that come from the rules that have been made by various people over the years? Because it's the rules that are put around our churches that are the things that we often disagree on. That's what stops a lot of our unity, and that's not from God. At the heart of all our worship, we are worshipping the same God. Jesus had this central message of love and peace. He gave that message to his disciples. He commissioned the 70 to go and preach the message of peace. But as with a lot of other things these days, we want instant peace. And Jesus is reminding people that peace doesn't just happen. We have to see where things are wrong. We have to see where change is needed. And if you mention the word change, then you can guarantee that there will be some opposition. There will be resistance, and that can start conflict. So if we want peace, we may have to go through a time of conflict to reach it. Jesus knew that his message would make him rejected. But that didn't stop him carrying out his Father's will. Nobody could ever say that Jesus had an easy earthly journey. He never wavered. And he never failed to tell people, if you follow me, then you'll have to take up your cross as well. It's not going to be an easy road. But you can do it. The message in that gospel is hard at times to read. But what it's saying is that we are all going to be judged. We are going to be judged. But that doesn't have to be the last word, because Jesus offers us this chance to look and to change. And he doesn't do it just once, but he does it time after time after time. He says, open your eyes. Look and see what needs to change, and then change. And that's not always easy. To face this difficult road is not easy. And that's where our faith comes in. We need faith in order to do that. How's your faith? Is it strong? Does it get you through things? What even is faith? There was once a village where they were desperate for rain. And I think right now we can probably all agree with that. And there'll be a lot of villages within our own country that will be feeling just the same right about now, I think. So the villagers decided that they had to have a prayer meeting and pray for rain. So everyone turned up. One small boy arrived with an umbrella. He had faith. He had faith that if they prayed to God, then the rain would come. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is headed faith. It reminds everyone of the story that they've inherited, the faith of their ancestors. It goes through and it talks of Moses leading the people through the Red Sea, Joshua and the troops bringing down the walls of Jericho. Great things achieved by people who put their faith in God and obeyed what he told them to do, however hard and silly it seemed. They were sure that God could make what they hoped for happen. And there were many other heroes of the faith mentioned. But then we see this bit that says it didn't always go according to plan. It wasn't always easy, and there were casualties amongst them. And sometimes people questioned it and said, you never said that faith would lead to all this trouble. And they're told that they should have known. If they'd opened their eyes and they'd looked at what had happened to other people, if they'd looked especially at Jesus, because Jesus faced trouble, he faced persecution, he died a horrible death on a cross. He lived and died in faith. He didn't do that for himself, but he did that for the benefit of everyone else. That includes you and me. He showed that living in faith is not just something you do for yourself. We're part of this bigger plan with a bigger reward at the end of it. When in Hebrews it speaks of us running the race before us, it's not on about an individual sprint. It's on about being part of a relay race. We're all in it together. We're all going forward together. Because Jesus passed on that baton to his disciples and to the 70. Just think how few people Jesus relied on to get his word around the world. And yet we're sitting here today. So it happened because he passed on that baton of faith and others did the same. You and I now hold on to that baton of faith. It's in our care. It's in our charge. We're the ones that are holding it. But we're only holding it temporarily because it's our job to pass it on to others. If we're going to pass it on in any worthwhile way, we need to make sure that the faith that we are giving on to other people in the baton is strong. And that means building up our faith. That means talking to God regularly, just as Jesus did. We need communication with God. We need to receive from him regularly so that our faith is strengthened. And then we can cope with what happens to us. There will be times when we may need to say things that cause division. If we see things that need changing, we may need to say something. We may need to say uncomfortable things, to stand up against a wrong, whether it's in our own lives or in our communities. And we may well be a part of an unpopular minority. Loyalty to the truth doesn't always have happy, nice consequences. But we're here. We have faith. We know everything that Jesus has said to us. We know what he expects of us. And we need to press on. That's what it says, press on with that race. But focus always on Jesus. Jesus is the one who encourages us. Just as all those other wonderful people before us encourage us. We've got all these examples of faithful people. Life gets busy. We can get distracted by all the things that are going on around us. How busy we are doing everything for church. And sometimes while we're so busy and getting distracted by all these good things we're doing, we lose sight of God. We lose sight of what he wants us to be doing. We lose sight of the things that he's saying, look at that, it needs to be changed. We can't get distracted. We have to focus on Jesus. If we look to him, we can live our lives in a way that shows our faith and shows it to other people. By living out our faith, we show other people every day what it means to us. That baton will remain nice and strong, ready for us to pass on to others as we go on and achieve the goal that we are looking at and get our prize from Jesus. So let's go out and open our eyes, see what's around us, and see what God wants us to do. Because there's so much out in our world that needs changing. So many things that are broken. We're going to sing a lovely hymn that tells us about that. That there is an opportunity for beauty from brokenness. So let's sing together, Beauty for Brokenness.
Thank you.
So much in our world that needs changing, so many suffering.
We need the spark that's within us to be aflame, for us to open our eyes and to get out there and to see what we can do to make life better. Let's turn to God in prayer. Creator God, your world longs to live in peace. Right now our world lies broken, fractured by prejudice, splintered by hate, scarred by fear. And for all our efforts, we can't make it whole. We pray for all those living through conflict at this time, remembering especially all in the Ukraine and all who are suffering as a result of that war. Lord, pick up the pieces and bind them together, bringing healing where there is hurt and unity where there is division. In our divided world, help us to build bridges, to do what we can where we can, to construct links, create dialogues, and bring together those previously kept apart. Help us in our small ways to be peacemakers. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Saviour God, your children long to live in peace and long for your love and your healing. Loving Lord, when love brings hurt, the pain of rejection, betrayal or loss, may your love bring comfort and help to heal the wounds. Healing God, hear our prayer for the sick. All who are in pain, either in hospital or at home, those who are waiting anxiously for appointments and for treatment, and all those who are battling illnesses, and all those anxious about the future. We pause for a moment to name in our hearts anyone that we know who at this time needs God's loving touch. Lord, we name them in our hearts and we leave them in your hands. Support them through family and friends, through the skill and dedication of medical staff, and above all through the knowledge of your love. Minister your healing touch and grant them the peace and strength they need to find wholeness in you. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Spirit of God, your church longs to live in peace. We pray for your healing peace between denominations, within our individual churches, and in our hearts. And we pray for this church family, that it may continue to be a beacon of your love in this community. Almighty God, help us to hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, to hear your voice in those around us, your word in prayer and worship, your call in the daily routine, your speech in the miracle of life. Remind us of the many ways you speak and give us a receptive spirit to hear what you are saying to us. Lord Jesus, we would follow you wherever you go. Help us not to look back. We may not be sure what the future holds for us. Help us not to look back. We have maybe other priorities in our minds. Help us not to look back. We may think we have other things to do first, but help us not to look back. We may not feel confident or faithful enough. Help us not to look back. Looking back may lose us the race. Help us not to look back, but always to look at Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all your gifts to us and for your daily care. And at this time, we just ask that you will bless the offerings of money that we leave here. And as we leave our offerings of money, we also offer ourselves, Lord, and ask that you will bless both the money and our lives and use both in your service. We ask all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, who taught us when we pray together to say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And so our closing hymn this morning is one I should think we all know. It's Great is Thy Faithfulness. Never hurts us to remember that God is with us each and every day. He is always faithful, even the times when we forget him. So let's sing our last hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Isn't it, that our God, our awesome God, is faithful to me and to each one of you. May the love of Christ shine in our eyes, the compassion of Christ work through our hands, the word of Christ fall from our lips, and the life of Christ flow through our veins to his glory. And shall we bless one another as we share the words of the grace, saying, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.